Chapter 13. I have heard that Edward G. Robinson would do 3 films a year, one for love, one for money, and one for location. Someday, I hope to be in a position to be that choosy. There are a number of questions I ask when I am offered a job as an actor. Who's directing? Who's in it? How long will I be needed? How much money? Where does it shoot? But the last question, location, is a really crucial one. I do my best to find interesting and/or lucrative work close to home as often as possible, because in over 38 years in this business we call show, I have acquired more air miles than I would like to remember flying between locations and home so as not to be away from my family for long stretches of time. For this reason, obviously, the farther away the location, the more I grapple with the choice. The other reason is the food. If the project is filming in Europe, the choice is pretty simple, as good food is plentiful and frequent trips home are easily done. If I am offered a job across the Atlantic, say in Toronto, Vancouver, or Montreal, even though I'm aware the commute, quote-unquote, will be exhausting, I know I will be in cities that are home to a plethora of great restaurants and food shopping. I mention these cities because for many years now, countless television shows and films have been shot there. Most people think that Los Angeles is the home of filmmaking, but Canada and England are now the meccas of cinema production. This suits me just fine, as I love Canada, I live in London, and I hate L.A. For instance, I know that in Vancouver I'll be able to eat amazing Chinese or Japanese food, explore the great homegrown restaurants that spring up every year, and find great fresh seafood, meat, and produce to cook myself. I also know that my first stop will be my favorite restaurant, Chopino's, in Yale Town, run by chef Pino Postoraro and his brother Celestino. I first visited Chopino's about 20 years ago when I was making a film for which I was well paid and which no one should ever see. Pino and Celestino, who, like my family, hail from Calabria, treated me like a brother from the moment I entered their restaurant. When Kate, our 2-year-old twins, our 1-month-old, and my parents came to stay with me, we would eat there whenever we could because the brothers created the warm atmosphere of an Italian home on a Sunday afternoon. Even though 20 years have passed, Pino, Celestino, and I have remained friends. But it is not this friendship that prompts me to say that Chopino's is one of the best restaurants I have ever eaten in. It's the food. Coming from an aristocratic Calabrese family, Pino learned the basics of cooking from his mother, who herself had studied with professional chefs. He worked with Armando Zanetti, the 2-star Michelin chef in Turin, after which he became chef de cuisine in Ristorante Bologna at the Mandarin Hotel in Singapore. The mid-90s found him and his young family in Vancouver, where he had been offered the job of head chef at the famous Il Giardino. Soon afterwards, he teamed up with his brother Celestino, who had owned his own successful restaurants over the years, and they opened Chopino's. Pino's ability to combine the many facets of his culinary education and experiences has allowed him to create dishes that take Italian cooking to another level. His expert use of the sous vide method of cooking alone, especially 20 years ago when he first opened, sets him apart from so many chefs, as does his ability to integrate Asian flavors and techniques into Italian dishes. Whenever I'm working in Vancouver, I'm more than excited to see Pino and Celestino and dine at their restaurant. While on set, I find myself constantly asking the assistant director, who basically controls the schedule of a shooting day, what time I will wrap so I can be sure to get to Chopino's before it closes. This is really what most actors are thinking when they are, well, acting. When I was filming there last year, I went to Chopino's one night, straight from work, exhausted and famished. The brothers warmly welcomed me, and within moments there was a glass of wine in my hand, and the question, "What would you like to eat?" had been posed. A waiter came by and offered me a menu, which was then abruptly taken away by Pino, who thrust it back at the poor fellow, saying, "What are you doing? He doesn't need this. I'll make him whatever he wants." Pino's special treatment of me suddenly put me in mind of Romano's special treatment of my dear, long-lost friend Marcello Mastroianni all those years ago. Except Marcello was a cinematic icon with nice hair, and I am not, and have none. As I watched the young waiter recede with embarrassment simply for doing his job well, Pino smiled at me. "He's a good kid." I shook my head and laughed at what I recognized as true Calabrese parenting behavior. Pino is a very generous man and a kind boss to the many employees who stay with him for years and years, but he can be, shall we say, very straightforward. He admits this himself. He studied medicine for 3 years before turning to the kitchen, and I believe he would have been an equally brilliant doctor as he is a chef. Still, my instinct is that his bedside manner might have needed a little help. "So, what would you like?" he asked. "Just maybe some pasta, something simple." "With meat? No meat?" "With meat." "Okay." And he was off. Celestino came by and chatted with me for a bit as we had a glass of wine together. As always, he asked about my parents and the children and told me how he wanted someday to meet Felicity and the little ones. A few minutes later, a bowl of pasta with a bolognese sauce was placed before me. Celestino was up in a flash. "Go ahead. I'll let you eat. I'll be back." And he was gone. I took a mouthful, but was confused as to what it was I tasted. It was a bolognese sauce, but it had a depth of flavor that I had never experienced before. I ate bite after bite, but I couldn't figure it out. I craned my neck looking for Celestino or Pino, but they must have gone into the other room. Then Celestino suddenly appeared. "You okay?" "Yes, great. What is this?" "Bolognese," he said, looking at me like I was a moron. "No, I know, but why is it..." "What?" "I don't know. Why does it taste like this?" "You don't like it?" "No, no, I love it. I've never tasted one like this." "Pino!" he shouted into the other room. Silence. Celestino left. I heard him yell Pino's name again from the other room. I ate some more. Pino arrived. "What's the matter? Something wrong?" he said, and then smiled slyly. How do you make this?" "It's good, right?" "That's an understatement." "Okay, here's what I do. I make a stock, yes, of cheese." "Wait, what do you mean?" He explained how he took a piece of Parmigiano rind and made a stock with it, putting it into a muslin bag with some herbs and cooking it in water for an extended period of time. He then used the result to bring an amazing depth of flavor to an already beautiful meat sauce. So simple. Cheese stock. Who knew? Certainly not me. We chatted for a bit, and realizing I had an early call, I asked him for the check, which he refused to give me. He never lets me pay. He says when I come with friends, I can pay, but when I'm alone, I should think of the restaurant as my home. As we parted, and I thanked both brothers effusively, all I could think about was finishing work in good time tomorrow so I might visit my friend Pino, the generous genius, again. Pino Postararo's Parmigiano stock. 1 quart water, 1 large Parmigiano rind, about 1.5 pounds, 7 ounces coarse sea salt, 3 small bay leaves. Fill a large pot with the water, wrap the rind in cheesecloth, tie tightly with string, and secure to the side of the pot. This helps avoid the Parmigiano sinking to the bottom of the pot and burning. Submerge the wrapped rind. Add the salt and bay leaves. Gently boil for 2 hours. Strain and use for bolognese. Pino Postararo's Fettuccine with Ragù alla Bolognese. Serves 4. 1 tablespoon onions, chopped. 1 tablespoon carrots, chopped. 1 tablespoon celery, chopped. 2 tablespoons extra virgin olive oil. 1 ounce mixed fresh herbs, such as rosemary, sage, and or thyme, chopped. 2 bay leaves. 2 ounces dried porcini mushrooms, reconstituted. 1/2 pound lean ground beef or veal. 1 ounce tomato paste. 3.5 tablespoons dry white wine. 3.5 tablespoons freshly squeezed orange juice. 1 tablespoon salt. A pinch of black pepper. 1.25 pints of chicken stock or Parmigiano stock. 1 pint beef jus or Parmigiano stock. 10 ounces egg fettuccine. 1 ounce butter. 1 ounce 36% fat whipping cream, optional. 1.25 ounces grana padano, grated. In a large saucepan over medium heat, sweat the vegetables in the olive oil with the herbs and porcini. Add the meat and cook until brown, perhaps utilizing a lid to achieve a better and faster result. Add the tomato paste, wine, and orange juice and let the liquids evaporate. Add the salt, pepper, and stocks and let simmer for about 1.5 hours. When the ragu is cooked, boil the fettuccine in salted water until al dente. Add the butter and the cream, if using, to the ragu alla bolognese. Toss the pasta with the sauce and sprinkle with the grated grana padano.